From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Censure is the recommended punishment for Congressman Charles Rangel. Today, the House Ethics Committee's chief counsel said the New York lawmaker should be given the most serious punishment, short of expulsion, for violating ethics rules. Today, Rangel said he might have been sloppy, but not corrupt.
No matter what sanction you finally reach, I will dedicate my life in trying to let younger members and other members know that these rules are not there to punish. They are there to guide the members to protect the character and the integrity of this Congress.
Rangel was found guilty on 11 counts of ethics violations, including fundraising misconduct. After today's meeting, the House Ethics Committee will decide on the recommended punishment in a closed-door session. Afghanistan will be near the top of President Obama's agenda in Lisbon over the next 2 days. NPR's Ari Shapiro will be traveling with the president to the NATO summit in Portugal.
Almost a third of the troops in Afghanistan are not American, so the NATO summit will be a moment for the countries involved in the Afghan war to regroup, discuss lessons learned, and plot a way forward. General Doug Lute is President Obama's special assistant for Afghanistan and Pakistan. He told reporters the goal is to begin withdrawing troops next July and finish the process by 2014.
During this process, to reassure the Afghans that as they stand up, they will not have to stand alone. NATO is expected to endorse an enduring partnership with Afghanistan.
NATO will also adopt a new strategic concept at this summit for the first time in more than a decade. That document redefines the organization's role to adapt to 21st century challenges such as terrorism and cybersecurity. Ari Shapiro, NPR News.
Trading of shares in the new General Motors is underway on the New York Stock Exchange. The stock began trading at $35. NPR's Sonari Glinton reports today's sale will cut the U.S. government's ownership in the company by about half.
The stock sale should raise upward of $20 billion. That money won't go directly to GM. It goes to the U.S. Treasury, the Canadian government, and the trust that's responsible for the United Auto Workers Retirees Health Care Fund. Dan Akerson, GM's chief executive officer, says there's a lot of confidence and optimism in GM these days.
There's something else, too. We know how we arrived here. We know what went wrong, and I believe we've learned a lot from that.
Depending on what calculation you use, the U.S. government's share of the company will fall from 61% to between 27 and 33%. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
House Republicans say they will adopt a voluntary ban on earmarks or pet projects when they take control of the House in January. Senate Republicans took similar action 2 days ago. Dow's up 180. This is NPR. Scientists working at the world's largest physics lab located near Geneva are claiming a breakthrough. NPR's Richard Harris says it has to do with the search for antimatter.
As any Star Trek fan can tell you, when you bring together matter and antimatter, they annihilate, leaving only pure energy. That's because matter and antimatter are essentially opposites. Take hydrogen, the simplest atom. It's made from a proton and an electron. Antihydrogen is made from the antimatter equivalent, an antiproton and a positron. Since our universe is filled almost entirely with matter, it's hard to keep any antimatter around long enough to study. It goes poof at the slightest provocation. Now, scientists at the European Accelerator Lab, CERN, have figured out how to trap antimatter atoms and isolate them from matter briefly in order to study them. In Nature, they report trapping 38 antihydrogen atoms. They soon hope to collect enough to study the physical properties of this otherworldly material to find out whether antimatter and matter are fundamentally the same. Richard Harris, NPR News.
Qantas says about 40 Rolls-Royce engines used in the world's fleet of Airbus 380 aircraft may have to be replaced. That affects about half of all Rolls-Royce engines in service. This as the airline uncovers more details about the engine blowout on one of its flights earlier this month. Meanwhile, the vice president of the Australian and International Pilots Association says the number of system failures stemming from the November 4th engine blowout was unprecedented, but the crippled plane returned safely to Singapore with more than 450 people on board. This is NPR.